The Ides of March come Tuesday, but watch interest rates the day after. I'm David Brancaccio. Can central banks stamp out inflation without deflating the whole kit and caboodle? Yesterday, the European Central Bank opted to keep rates steady. In the U.S., we also have a price challenge. And the U.S. Central Bank, the Fed, will likely raise the cost of borrowing Wednesday. My Marketplace colleagues, Victoria Craig in London, who's also BBC, and Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington are both connected. Welcome all.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning, David.
First, how has Russia's war on Ukraine affected the central banking decisions on interest rates?
Well, it's really kicked them into action here in Europe because they're very concerned about what impact the war is going to have on inflation. Yesterday, ECB chief Christine Lagarde at her press conference explained how the war is affecting economies here.
The Russia-Ukraine war will have a material impact on economic activity and inflation through higher energy and commodity prices, the disruption of international commerce, and weaker confidence.
And the European Central Bank, of course, has to keep an eye on prices across all the countries, across the Eurozone. Nancy, in Washington, here, the Fed's job, is it any easier? One country?
It is one country, obviously, David, but there are times when some parts of the country are lagging behind others. Now, the Fed does have 12 Federal Reserve banks across the country. It issues something called the Beige Book, kind of like an economic pulse check for the country. Jerome Powell was asked about Ukraine last week when he was on Capitol Hill. He said the implications for the U.S. economy are highly uncertain, but the Fed will be monitoring the situation closely. David, he was unusually blunt about interest rates, and he said the Fed is not on autopilot, but he thinks it would be appropriate and he would support a quarter percentage point hike in interest rates next week.
I mean, in large part, because we've seen inflation not as transitory as the experts had been hoping last year. It's sticking around. That'll factor in.
Absolutely. And Powell was asked about inflation repeatedly when he was on Capitol Hill. He said he realizes inflation takes a toll on Americans, especially low-income consumers. He said basically he's on it.
Inflation is too high. We understand that. And, you know, we're working on it. It's going to take some time, but we're going to get it back under control. By the way, we're seeing this everywhere in the world. We're seeing it more in the United States because our economy is stronger.
And Powell says he's in ongoing contact with other central bankers on interest rates. And he also said it's important to understand the perspectives, especially of Europeans who are so much closer to what's going on in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Christine Lagarde said this war is a, quote, watershed moment for Europe. In the same way that policymakers at central banks couldn't put more semiconductors in the supply chain or find ports for ships, they also can't stop the war in Ukraine. They can only try to dampen the effects that that's having on inflation. And the problem with that is inherently that when they do that, it slows growth. So it's a double-edged sword.
All right. Our Victoria Craig and our Nancy Marshall-Genzer, one in London, one in D.C. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
You're welcome.
The big market story today is connected to this. The benchmark 10-year interest rate U.S. is above 2% today, a gathering assumption by market players that inflation will linger longer. Stock market's up, though. The Dow is up 231.7%. The S&P is up 0.4% in early trading. The NASDAQ flat, it's up 4 points. And interesting, given China's general support for Russia despite the war, a senior Russian aviation official is quoted saying China has refused to supply spare parts to Russian airlines. Boeing and Airbus had already cut them off. Crude oil is steadier today, traded in New York, $107 a barrel right now. There was a $130 peak early in the week. There's oil embedded in rock under the U.S., but the fracking techniques to extract it are relatively expensive, and there's a shortage of equipment and labor. And with fossil fuel, there are high environmental costs. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Fracking for oil is a two-stage process. First, you drill the well. Then you complete it by, among other things, injecting a slurry of sand and water at high pressure to force the oil out of the ground. And for a while now, oil companies have had a surplus of wells that they had drilled but not yet completed.
And in the last year and a half, the industry has been able to increase the number of producing wells without really dramatically increasing drilling because they've been eating down that inventory of drilled but uncompleted wells.
Mark Finley is a fellow in global oil at Rice University's Baker Institute.
The industry has been kind of eating its seed corn, as we used to say back on the farm.
Finley says companies in the U.S. could soon run out of that surplus. But Paul Baumer at the University of Texas at Austin says even for producers that still have wells that they need to complete, it's an uphill battle right now.
I think we'll be limited to the amount of completion equipment and the amount of completion people that are out there that anybody could hire. You know, they're all going to be working.
And that's going to allow those oil service providers to raise their prices for doing that work. And if the price of oil stays over $100 a barrel for long, even more companies are going to want to start fracking again. But there's a limit to how much of that can happen all at once. Michael Lynch, a fellow at the Energy Policy Research Foundation in D.C., says it's not only crews that you need to frack a well.
People have also talked about shortages of fracking sand, which is actually specialized kind of sand. And if you accelerate that, you'll get a lot more cost inflation. And most of the industry would like to avoid that.
Even if you're getting $120 for a barrel of oil, Lynch says, those marginal gains are going to dry up pretty quick if you're paying three or four times what you normally do for sand and water. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And it's such a barrel of laughs around April 15th. Why not make it year-round? The Internal Revenue Service wants to hire 10,000 people to go through tax forms. It has 20 million unprocessed ones from back years. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.